There will be no personal nor direct attacks on anyone. And I would ask that you please try to keep down the loud cheering and the clapping. There will be no booing and no unruly behavior. With that,
this is painful, and it will be for a long time.
Donald Trump, baby! That's right, this man knows what's up!
After all, these are a couple of high-stepping turkeys, and you know what to say about a high-stepper. No step too high for a high-stepper.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Well, Sean's a tough guy. I mean, I think everybody knows that. You know, Sean, he took some licks. He hangs in there.
Yeah, what's wrong with the beer we got? I mean, the beer we got drank pretty good, don't it?
Did you hear what I said?
So this is a brave council. I had no doubt about them.
That doesn't suck.
If you don't like it, you're banned.
Last question. Were you high on drugs?
Last question. Kiss my...
All right, away we go. FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile on this Friday Eve edition of the show. Glad to have you all along. And easy to get in touch with the show. 343-0106. 343-0106 for a call or a text. And a reminder, too, using the FM Talk 106.5 app, you can leave us a talkback message. And while we're doing like reminder stuff, too, if you're one of the hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds in the College Pick'em contest, you know, maybe want to get them done today or tomorrow, but you know, you got to get them done before the weekend game starts. So check your account there. I'm doing this to remind myself. Here, hold on. I have to put a note in my phone to do that. I hadn't made my picks yet either, but here I am lecturing you to do it, and I've yet to do it, but I will at some point here before Saturday. All right. Coming up in just about 20 minutes or so, William Strickland with Mobile Baykeeper, some updates there on the thin layer placement and the dredging in Mobile Bay and the ship channel. We'll talk to him about that. Also, Kyle Hamrick from Lanyap joins us. Also in the show, about 1:30 or so, an event coming up out at Baker High School. And I emceed one of these before in Sims. And we have some cases right now we're talking about some convictions on people that gave fentanyl, sold fentanyl, laced drugs to youths in our area and killed them. And what's being done about that, how you can be a more vigilant parent and hear from the kids' concerns as well. Got an event coming up next week we'll talk about at 1:30. So that's all on the way. As we get started, too, yes, we will get to the RFK Jr. stuff. I did get this text from, the former Mayor William Bush. Thank you for the text. The traffic issues in Birmingham area are very similar to Saraland's problem. Once Google looks at the fastest route to Orange Beach, it puts the traffic from the north right through the areas that the state didn't plan for. Yeah, it's that section, and I appreciate the text. You see, it's just like, even from Montgomery, so people coming in, you know, from other routes that get to Montgomery, it's still bad going north from, you know, watching it from, like, crossing the river, Alabama River there, up to, you know, Prattville and in there, but it's nothing like that. If something happens, there must be another road coming in there. It's like that area, Calera, Montevallo there. I said I've been lucky a couple times. I've been coming the other way watching it, but the traffic just gunches up there every time. All right, are they back or they're still on a break here from, they're grilling out. It's RFK Jr. for lunch in Washington. A couple things I've noticed here. I mean, we could talk about the policy questions. And I will say, you know, this I think is a nuanced discussion. I think the problem is the shenanigans around the COVID vaccine have poisoned the discussion of other vaccines. Everything's getting lumped together where I don't see it that way. I see there's definite benefits in vaccines out there. I mean, we've seen it. But you go and move with this COVID vaccine and you give people reason to not believe you on others, which is a big problem. Also, by the way, anybody up there, and I don't know if you were watching it earlier, Dalton, but it's one of the reasons I like guests in here to have headphones on so they can hear what's going on over the air. Somebody had RFK Jr.'s mic turned up so much, and I know because he talks like this, but they had it so much that every breath he took through his nose or whatever was like whistling through the mic. It was a little distracting for about an hour or so watching it there. And also, he's obviously gotten some sun this summer as well. RFK Jr.'s skin color is like the... I picture it like the leather in a King Ranch Ford pickup, like that kind of saddle leather. But he was, you know, you've got attacks from Democrats. That's expected, right? That's expected. A couple Republicans asking questions about other vaccines, which I think is fair. There's a lot of talk too about the availability this fall of COVID vaccines, because, you know, RFK Jr. said they shouldn't be for everyone, which I think we've seen some proof of that, right? This mass vaccination thing that happened in the past. And he's just questioning, like, who's going to be, I mean, maybe we don't have the coat, would it be a booster or whatever? That's not for everyone. And he got grilled on that as well. Democrats are calling him a charlatan. A lot of people saying he's ignorant. It's easy thing for me to say would be, well, they're all on the take from Big Pharma, and probably quite a few of them are. But I also think it's worth having a fair discussion of all vaccines. I mean, the idea that you could say this COVID vaccine and what happened with this was an abomination, but does that mean you don't give the measles vaccine? Does that mean you don't, you know, it does it? This kind of baby out with the bathwater thing, you know, the discussion. So you have mRNA vaccines, like we talked about when dealing with the COVID vaccine, but you have a bunch of other ones. And so this idea, because of the shenanigans and the baloney that came out around the COVID vaccine, then you shouldn't do any of them. I don't know. I do, the heavy-handed government in this, like if you want your kid in school or you don't have a religious exemption, you got to get these. It's a tough question because that's taking away liberty, which I kind of, you know, dig, taking liberty away from parents. At the same time, having people not believe in the efficacy of some of the other vaccines, I think, is dangerous. I think if they know the information about it, people know the difference in, like, a measles vaccine and a COVID vaccine, and make sure that everybody knows all the information, then they make their choices, maybe. Because Jeff brought something up, and I've talked about this before. You know, the idea is to keep it from spreading, right, whatever. Let's say for measles, for example, but if you have your child immunized for it, then they shouldn't be at risk for it. It would be others that would be. You can protect yours and this other person chooses not to, but if you have measles cases out there, it's not good for society, is it? Not good for those children. It's a tougher thing. I think it's real easy to say, and a lot of this stuff is like a slam dunk, like where the government went wrong. Lord knows. How many hours of this radio show did we talk about that? At the same time saying, because of that, then all vaccines are bad. I think that's ignorant going the other way. Let's see, a text here from Michael says, it's not fair to be skeptical of everything someone tells you to do if you find out that they were completely lying and fabricating the most recent demand they're making. Yeah, I don't think it is. I think, now, the fact that people are paying attention, not just doing, like when my kids were born, I didn't even think, like, of course, this is what we do. We go and take them, get the shots, right? And they're hollering and all that stuff. I didn't even think about it. So the fact that people are thinking about it, maybe doing their own research, is good. But I want to make sure that all the facts are out there. They're not just saying, hey, the situation around the COVID vaccine, the mRNA vaccines, therefore all are bad. ID Jesus says the risk to reward is per the individual and should be decided by the individual and their doctor. But you will have some influences here too, though, right? If you want your kids in school, those, you know, you have to get your kids in school. There'll be some rules about that. So we can tell you that discussion. Plus, you know, I had this yesterday, didn't get time to it. What was it Trump said? Like, I feel these countries are conspiring against me. This big meetup with, like, North Korea, China, Russia. Well, of course they're conspiring against you. That's who they are. This is like something out of a James Bond movie. We'll discuss this when we get back. 1215 FM Talk 106.5 Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
Talk 20, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. tell you about my buddy Jeff Stone at Stone Arms. I was on the phone with him earlier today. Also, we talk about what goes on at Stone Arms, and I will remind you, they got the kiosk there that if you're going to try to get your green light to get a suppressor, get a silencer, they've got it right there in the shop. Something that I toyed with the idea and never did accomplish over years. I got done in 20 minutes and got my green light back from the feds in 2 weeks to get mine. Now get to shoot suppressed and enjoy that a whole bunch. But for a second here, I just want to talk about another one of his operations. So Stone Arms is on Airport, just about a quarter mile west of Snow on Airport. So you go in there, check out great selection of firearms, accessories, of course, the kiosk there to get signed up for your suppressor. If you're looking for a new can, he's got a great selection of those as well. But to somewhere to go shoot, you hear that from a lot of people, where to go shoot. And if you'll go to SilverCreekRange.com, SilverCreekRange.com, that's Jeff's shooting range. I know he just put in a new pistol range as well. And I saw the video he posted up yesterday. I was talking about that. But he's got that. But he has now, I think, nine or ten ranges out there. And if you'd like to shoot long distance, I'm kind of one of those people. That's the thing I find interesting. He's got a 1,000-yard rifle range that is pretty awesome. Plus, he's got 200-yard ranges and 50s and 25s and, you know, stuff for handguns. And but, yeah, he's got a long rifle range and a whole bunch more. So SilverCreekRange.com, or if you go to StoneArmsInc.com, you can link through there as well. All right, to this, I do want to mention, as we go forward here, that where the news story that just popped up with Devin, the serious news story about the Powerball. Powerball jackpot's now $1.7 billion. They didn't draw one last night. I'm glad. This is how ignorant I am to any kind of gambling or anything. I thought once I bought that ticket, which, by the way, I won $4. The crowd goes, well, I did win $4. Did not win the whole thing and didn't get to buy the ranch. I was looking at, but did win $4 because we bought a ticket coming back through. We were in Tennessee and bought one. And I thought they just, Dalton's probably laughing there. I thought that once you bought those numbers, until they had a drawing, your numbers continue to go in there. It doesn't work that way, but you have to go buy it again. Now it's up to $1.7 billion. They said there were $2 million winners drawn in Michigan, Oregon, Texas, and Wyoming. And winners were drawn in $1 million winners drawn in California, Colorado, Florida, Georgia, Illinois, Maryland, Minnesota, Ohio, and Pennsylvania. So they said since May 31st, there have been 41 straight drawings without a big winner. So this is big, big jackpot stuff. So there we go. Now, the odds are 1 in 292.2 million. So, I mean, it's probably not good for you. And as we look at this, is the state of Alabama, will we ever do this? Will we ever have a lottery in the state of Alabama? I like to throw this wrench into the work. Why don't we do something in the works? Why don't we do something different than the other states? Instead of having the government run the lottery, why don't we legalize lotteries and let private capital do this? Why is it that Class 3 gaming is absolutely the world of private enterprise, right? Casinos, you know, they're but lottery, that's the job of government. Isn't it seem odd? Like the idea if a state government would run a regular casino, you'd say, well, you can't do that. State's in the business of running. But they can run lotteries and nobody ever asks anything? I mean, that's, isn't that weird? Like, I mean, they're both gambling. Like I've said before, I mean, lottery is the, if Class 3 gaming is a glass of bullet bourbon, lottery is like a wine spritzer, like a Bartles and James. But still, it's gambling. It is gambling. Why is it that we're all, like, okay that government runs gambling? I mean, it seems odd. Like, it's like no question. Well, of course the states will run lotteries. That makes sense, Sean. But why does it make sense? I still don't know that one. All right. Also, I mentioned the story about the conspiring against the United States, or specifically, I think President Trump said himself. Let me read this from the AP. And we've talked about the BRICS conference and people trying to unlink the dollar with oil and what that could mean for us. But the idea that countries that we don't like, that they would get together and have a party and not invite us shouldn't be shocking. It also plays out to me like the premise for some kind of movie where you'd need a secret agent to go in when you have, as the AP has reported, the leaders of China, North Korea, and Russia standing shoulder to shoulder Wednesday as high-tech military hardware and thousands of marching soldiers filled the streets of Beijing. Another reason back to what we did for Flag Day that I don't like the idea of, I mean, I love the idea of celebrating our military. I don't think I need to prove that to you. But rolling our military equipment down the streets, it's too damn communist for me. It's too damn totalitarian. Also, it says 2 days earlier, Indian Prime Minister Narendra Modi and Russian President Vladimir Putin and Chinese President Xi Jinping huddled together, smiling broadly, and clasping hands at the meeting of the Shanghai Cooperation Organization. Doesn't that sound like some like international bad guy ring from a Bond movie? But they were there. And by the way, the India thing worries me because I think, you know, as I look at places where if we continue in this tariff battle with China, right, and we decouple from China making the cheap stuff that we buy here, there's going to be a demand for cheap stuff that we buy here. So where does that go? Mexico, I think, yes, already happening, but I think they could move things that are in China now to being made in Mexico. Obviously, it's cheaper to get it into the United States. But also look at India. India is like a juggernaut when it comes to economies on the rise. India could easily, I think, that's the interesting thing about India being somewhere and being cozied up with China. I think India's got to scare China right out of their shoes with what they could do. They could take a lot of that market share from China. If anybody knows a good Indian investment fund, let me know. Said, okay, the gatherings in China this week could be read as striking, maybe even defiant message to the United States and its allies. But what do we, I mean, this is the same thing. Yes, they're going to do this. What does it mean when we have meetings that don't include China, North Korea, and Russia? I mean, it's the same thing. It's just their team meeting. Says at the very least, they offered yet more evidence of a burgeoning shift away from U.S.-dominated, Western-led world order as President Donald Trump withdraws America from many of its historic roles and royals economic relationships with tariffs. But they're already not our friends. I mean, that's the, and yes, have I worried about Russia becoming China's vassal state, petro state? Yes. North Korea could be building the military stuff there? Yes, maybe that's, I don't know. It seemed like the shock that these groups, these countries would meet without us being there is, seems like a, just obvious. I don't know. All right, let's grab some text here before the news. And plus, William Strickland from Baykeeper joins us after the news. Let's see. Brandon, I hit the Powerball for $12 last weekend. All right, playa. Well done. I got four. Summerdale Tony says, well, you know, I think the lottery's big enough now. I can go over there and buy me some tickets. It's worthwhile. So what Tony is doing is goading me into be reacting. What Tony's talking about is I worked with a guy years ago, and this quote came from him. He said, well, and I don't know what it was up to. It was Florida Lottery, and it was up to, I don't know, let's say $25 million or $30 million, something like that. This is a guy that I had to loan $20 to several times so he could get to work, right? So put gas in his trunk. And he's like, man, I guess it's big enough now. It's worth my while going over there. And it's always amused me. I was like, well, you couldn't put gas in your truck last week, but it's not worth $1 million. It's only worth when it's. So, yes, Tony, I'm laughing. This texture said, Powerball Lotto is rigged. When they get large like this one, it's always the California winner. California is stealing the money. Okay, please give me the evidence on that one. A DEI texter says Mega Millions and Powerball are private lotteries. Yes, but they are put through by the states. The state agency has something to do with it. That's the idea. It's like, why do we have no problem with the state being in the lottery world, but we would freak out if they opened Class 3 gaming? Now, listen, now y'all, Summerdale Tony is starting with me. Now, Maximus is saying, AAA says it's going to be the largest crowd traveling to Powerball ever. Y'all are funny. All right. And High Plains Drifter said, well, what if our military is throwing moon pies from the tanks? Okay, well, that would be worth having a parade then, maybe. All right, coming right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along on this Thursday. Segment of the show brought to you by my buddy Clint Jameson at Adventure Earth Bicycles. And he's got a new shipment of the e-bikes in. Now, he has 400 of what he calls the Amish bikes at any time, the non-electric. But in the electric bike world and going into hunting season, he's got the hunting bikes for you. He's got a new shipment, the Mach Wheel Obsidian 2.0 with the 750-watt motor, plus the fat tire hunting bike. Comes with full suspension, which I like that. It's got the seat suspension as well. It's in camo, plus Denago's fat tire e-hunt. It's in army green and black for hunting season. Plus, he's got a new shipment of shotgun and rifle holders, plus pistol holders that mount to the bike frame. All that in stock right now at Adventure Earth Bicycles. You can see it online at adventure-earth.com, or you can go see him in person. That's the most fun. He's right there in Midtown, kind of catty-cornered across from Ruth's Chris, where Little Flower and Airport come together. And go check out the bikes. He's got them in stock, ready for hunting season, ready to go now at Adventure Earth Bicycles. Plus, good old-fashioned bike shop. You just want to get work done on your bike, tuned up, things fixed, switch out seats, all that kind of stuff. He's got that in stock as well. Go see Clint at Adventure Earth Bicycles. All right, mentioned, be joined here, and we are, by Executive Director at Mobile Baykeeper, William Strickland. Good to talk to you.
Always happy to be on, Sean. Thanks for having me.
There's a lot I want to talk about if we have time, because there's some things that were up on y'all's Facebook page about the acres of coastal wetlands lost, and I want to get into that some. But before that, what everybody wants to know is, what's the update on thin layer placement, the core, what y'all are doing, what we can expect going forward?
Yeah, well, there's some other news about oysters that happened this week as well.
I want to get to that because
we're talking about.
Yeah, because it all kind of comes together. But I just want to get where's our status here? Where's the status on the debate over thin layer placement?
So, in my view, the debate is over. It's pretty much universally agreed upon that this is harming our bay system, and I believe our elected officials are on that same page. However, we went into the August recess in D.C. without any legislation even proposed. So we had to wait the whole month of August. Now, that's not the fault of our federal delegation. It's been a different year up there than it has been in years past. Everybody's adjusting to that. But they're back in session as of yesterday. And so there's opportunities once again for Senator Britt, who sits on the Energy and Water Appropriation Subcommittee, to put report language in that says you're not allowed to use federal money to dump mud in Mobile Bay. And then they're already beginning work on the Water Resources Development Act of 2026. So although it is a wait and see, there is a deadline of September 30th for appropriation. So that's we don't know if they'll actually get it done or not, but we should hear something soon. And then what's more is there seems to be some growing interest at the state level to pass a state law that bans this practice in Alabama, something that's done in a few other states as well to prevent the Corps from dumping dredge material. So I'm feeling optimistic that our leaders are listening, but I'm not I'm running out of patience with how legislation gets passed.
Yeah, so the idea here would be, because we talk about the if they don't have the appropriation to do thin layer placement. I mean, it's kind of a backdoor way, but if I understand this, if they deny the funding for it, then it would stop because the Corps wouldn't have money to do it that way, right? But then did it another way, there would be funding for it. Am I right in that?
That's right. That's right. Actually, we're advocating for the Corps of Engineers to get more money because it will be more expensive to dispose of this dredge material properly. But that money will be designated to not be used for dumping it in the bay. So, yes, it would prevent funding from being used for this, and they would actually get more money to dispose of it a different way.
Yeah, so it's not, to understand this, y'all, it's not even that they're passing something that says, hey, Corps of Engineers, you have to stop. It's going to say, if you do it this way, there's no money for you. But if you do this other way, we're going to fully fund you doing it that way. It's a purse strings kind of argument.
That's right. And that's the first step. We do want to get it banned in law. And that would mean that the federal government would be required to fund it years going forward as a matter of national security and economics. So we do want the ban to happen, but again, it will come with funding to dispose of it the proper way.
Okay, and I might revisit that here at the end, but I want to tell you all, I'm in the world of making words paint pictures, but sometimes a picture is an important thing. And if you'll go to Facebook, and it may be elsewhere, but on the Mobile Baykeeper Facebook page, you have a graphic up, and I want you to tell me about it, but this graphic is really telling. Now, I've heard these stories growing up from my buddy's fathers and grandparents and all that, what it used to be like, and there are oysters here and there are oysters there, and we hear all the old stories. But to see this mapped out, if y'all go there, it shows the oyster reefs in the Mobile Bay system, Mississippi Sound Mobile Bay, in 1968, and then again in 2024. William, that's shocking.
It is shocking. And what's more, and if you go, those of you that go to look at it, what it represents is we've lost about 85% of our oysters since 1968. Our oyster reefs. And then yesterday, the Alabama's Department of Conservation and Natural Resources held its annual oyster meeting, and it was really a dark day. They are going to have a oyster season this year, but what they reported was that they've seen a 40% decline year over year between 2024 and 2025 in mature oysters. And the worst part is that there's an 89% less bat, meaning little tiny baby oysters than they saw the year before. And so we are not headed in the right direction as a state. And I think the part that's most discouraging is that there are these chronic stressors to point to, like, well, this year was a really freshwater year. Last year was a really salty year. But
you beat me to things
we can solve.
Well, okay, good. Because you beat me to that. Because I was going to say, hey, William, there's some of this is the cycle of oysters, right? I mean, heck, I talked about just going over to St. Joe Bay last month, and this year there are more scallops than normal, right? There's this cyclical part of it. But you're saying this is bigger than the good year, bad year for oysters, something bigger going on.
That's right. We keep stepping down year after year. And so last year, we had a lower year than the year before. And the reason was they had a lot more salty water, and that means there were more oyster drills. An oyster drill is a little snail conch that drills in and kills the oysters. So one year we ascribed the loss to too much salty water, and then this year we ascribe our oyster loss to too much fresh water. And so I think what we have to start doing is looking at what are the chronic stressors beyond this year versus last year. Why are we seeing our oyster reefs silted in more than they've been historically? Why are we seeing historically higher levels of salt water and lower levels of dissolved oxygen? And what are things that we can do to fix this? That's what we want to start hearing. And, of course, we think this big part of the siltation problem is caused by more sediment entering a Mobile Bay through the disposal of dredge material. And then we also know from studies out of the Dolphin Island Sea Lab that things like dissolved oxygen and intrusion of salt water exacerbated by the ship channel itself. It sucks that stuff up like a straw and disperses it throughout our system. These are causes that we can address, though. We can do things about it if we're willing to admit that their causes are caused by humans, or even otherwise we can do restoration that can address some of these issues.
Yeah, it'd be nice to have, when you have bad cycles, to have enough population that it doesn't tank as hard. It's always going to go down. And I worry about that, and because it's a Goldilocks zone thing. You know, you just said, I mean, it sounds like, the porridge is too hot, the porridge is too cold. In other words, fresh
That's
and
right.
salty. It's this Goldilocks zone where oysters can do their thing. And if y'all look at this map we're talking about, it's something, because that Goldilocks zone, and this isn't 1868, this is 1968, how far north that was, and it's absolutely just absent from the 2024 graphic.
Yeah, and I think one other thing we'd like to see is the studies of why those things happen. We've been able to run some experiments over the last few years to see that oysters will grow further up north in the bay than we think, than what we do restoration-wise. I think it's foolish to try to do that while water quality conditions are what they are. But not having an answer as to why this has happened is something that these oystermen in particular find unacceptable. You know, they're following the laws, they're getting their few sacks that they get every year as that industry erodes away, but they're really the only ones paying the price from a human perspective year to year. So they may not have an oyster season next year, but not knowing why that's happening or even an attempt to address it feels like a failure of leadership to them. I want to make it clear, though, we all lose when we lose our oysters. We're losing habitat for fish and other things that we like, and also just that water clarity. You know, those oysters are filter feeders, and we're having much less filtration from our natural oyster reefs than we once were.
The you talked about the, and I talked to somebody about this yesterday off air, about the, they make it to a year and die. You know, there's some suggestions that may be a bacteria of some sort, or a virus, sorry, a bacteria, a virus of some sort in them. That caps them off at a certain age. I mean, so there could be multiple things going on here, right?
I think everyone agrees that there are multiple things going on here. But, you know, the data that I have in front of me that they reported yesterday is that you're seeing an 89% drop from this year, from last year to this year on the numbers for spat. That's baby oysters. That tells us that's the most important number to me that I need to know is this doesn't give us a chance for the next year and the years to come. You can't, even when a baby oyster can't survive, it certainly can't grow up to be a mature oyster. And so that's where I believe we need to put our focus is what's causing these spat to not stick to these other oysters. And we know that low dissolved oxygen and siltation are pretty high causes of that.
Yeah, and this idea that it's a snowball that will build, and it's something I've been, you know, for 20 years or more, we're in projects where we were planting grasses and all that, and I would, you know, come in some years they would take, some of the years they wouldn't. It depended on how salty or how fresh it was. But right. If we could get these systems, the seagrasses, back to filter and oysters to filter, they could clean up the water, clear it up, the turbidity, to where there'd be more places for them to grow.
That's right. Clearer water, or at least back to what it once was, gives the opportunity for the system to work as it should. They're all playing off of each other. Now, you mentioned the oysters' ability to grow. There are some areas, and our state did put some money towards a master plan many years ago, where these intertidal areas that are protected from that turbidity that comes from the open water of the bay, they generally have higher oxygen levels. That's where Mobile Bay Keeper, as we grow oysters in our Oyster Keeper program, where we're placing our oysters for restoration. And I think what we're seeing is higher survivability there in those areas. And then they're able to reproduce, have that spat come down and land on those bigger reefs. So I think that's where us as a state and as a collective of folks that care about oysters, we need to put our attention, is putting the oysters where they can survive.
Yeah, exactly. And if you put them there, maybe it does open up more areas where they can survive. And that's a problem you and I have talked about before with the whole dredging thing, is the fact that it's turbid. I mean, we're the fertile, this turbid water, to some degree, that we're the fertile crescent for that reason. And it's always been the, you know, like, you can tell there's no amount of smoking that's good for you. But eating, right? You're talking about people overeat. Well, you got to eat. So, and eating is healthy. Having too much food is unhealthy. That's a tough thing about our system. There's a certain amount of this, you know, the siltation, all that we do need, right? We're not going to be clear like Destin. We're not supposed to be. But how much further past that point have we gone to where maybe these critters can't do it without us?
Well, and that's where, what we find unacceptable is that, for the most part, the Corps of Engineers doesn't have answers to those questions. Now, there's a recent study that's been published that does show a significant increase in suspended sediment and turbidity between the 1990s and today. And it shows that the source of that is coming from somewhere in the middle of the bay. And, of course, we know the big difference, and the actual sediment study used to make this decision, supposedly, to dump dredge in the middle of the bay, shows that the largest input by far into our system is the disposal of dredge material. And so that study's pretty convincing to me, but it's not something because it was done by a university, it's not something that the Corps of Engineers is using to make decisions, which, I mean, the inefficiency of government, I know y'all talk about that all the time here on this radio show, mm-hmm. but it will drive you crazy when you're seeing real people being harmed and we're refusing to look at available data.
Okay, so how do people, you know, will listen to this? And obviously, I have not ever seen, I don't think, I mean, there have been some bigger things, but I don't know that I've seen our community mobilized like they are around this. It's been significant. But they're going to say, I don't like this. So what do they do? I know I ask you this every time, but what do they do? They're listening to you. They're like, okay, William, I agree.
Yep.
What do they do?
Well, I think the first thing is that you, if you want to learn more or write your letter, you can visit SaveMobileBay.com. SaveMobileBay.com is where we have a lot of this information. And then if you want, you can then write an email to your entire federal delegation and to the Corps of Engineers. And thus far, we've had over 28,000 letters written. And we do track those things. That is by far more letters than we've ever seen before on an issue. So it is nearly universal that people agree that we shouldn't be doing this. But second, if you want to do something that may be more impactful, is you can call Senator Katie Britt. Mm-hmm. And she wants to do something, but we have to have her back if we expect her to have ours. And so I'll give you guys that phone number. Her office is 202-224-5744, 202-224-5744. Be friendly to whoever answers the phone. They want to help, but they've got to know that we're going to have their back if we have theirs.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, see, you know, from when you and I first talked about Senator Britt saying they were not going to fund the thin layer placement, I guess I was sadly, you think doing this long enough, I was naive that they would say, okay, well, if there's no money starting tomorrow, we're on the new plan. But that it hadn't been that easy.
Well, I want to be clear that Senator Britt has not yet said that herself. I think that there's indications that,
she said pretty close to that. It was pretty darn close to that. Okay.
She did. But yes, you're right. It's going to take more than words. It's going to take dried ink on paper to make the Corps of Engineers change their plans. You know, they're out there to accomplish their mission and do it in the way that is bureaucratic in a way that I don't understand. I don't have to play by those rules. But if they need the laws to change, that's something that we can do.
Okay. I appreciate it, and we'll get an update from you real soon, and keep up the great work with what y'all are doing. And I say this every time, this is just, I wish we didn't have to have y'all doing this, but I do appreciate, I really do, when y'all put the swim report out. If y'all hadn't, tell folks about that real quickly, who have not used that before, how's that work?
If you go to our website and click on the swim report, we put out a weekly report during the summer. This is the last month that we're doing it, and we test sites that are popular for swimming and recreation for bacteria levels. We publish it weekly. Now, do check the date that we publish, that we did the testing, because if there's been a rain since then, we recommend not getting in the water directly after a big rain, because we have so much leaky pipes that inevitably sewage does end up in the system. But it's a great tool, and it's the most used tool for people outside of our organization that we produce.
I wish y'all didn't have to do it, but I appreciate that you do. William Strickland,
thank you. Well, I look forward to the day when we get to close our doors, Sean.
Yep.
We got to keep fighting together. And then we'll go out of business. Thanks for having me.
There we go. There goes William Strickland from Baykeeper. We'll be right back. More Midday Mobile.
This is Midday Mobile with Sean Sullivan on FM Talk 106.5.
To 12:55, FM Talk 106.5 and Midday Mobile. Glad to have you along. Good time to check in with my buddy Blaine at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. And this is you're coming to me with deals all the time. I like this one as well. So the zero-turn mowers, you got big discounts on these right now. Which ones are they?
We do, Sean. Right now, we're going to be selling our demo mowers from this year. We got a handful of these demo mowers that we have every year. We're looking to sell our demos from this year now, anywhere from, we got some with 40 hours up to, you know, 70 hours on them, and they're going to be sold as new, full warranty, regular brand new financing terms on them. So, but they will have a big discount. So some of these mowers might have 1,000, 1,200, others might have you know, $15 to $2,000 discount on them. And for 50 hours, I would trade that $1,500 to $2,000 all day long. So, really good, deal on those right now. So if you're in the market for a mower, we got all the brand new ones. We've got some trade-in used ones, but these demos or something else to look at for sure.
Okay. On top of that, we hadn't talked about it in a while, but I watched the you lost a lot of floor space for other stuff when steel products moved in. You've got a huge selection of steel.
We do. We've got plenty of steel in stock right now. Been selling a good bit of that. Gas-powered and the battery-powered. We don't just have, you know, battery-powered weed eaters. I mean, anything you can think of, they make battery-powered now. Chainsaws, pole saws, pressure washers, floor saws, all kinds of stuff in the battery-powered. So we have it all in battery and gas-powered. So come by, see us. Our showroom is stocked full of that steel handhelds.
Good stuff. Blaine, tell people how to find you.
We're right here at Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale on Highway 59. Come by and see us Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturdays 8 until noon. Give us a call at 251-947-4171 or visit us online at parrishtractor.com.
Good stuff. We'll talk soon.
Thanks, Sean.
All right. There goes Blaine over Parrish Tractor in Robertsdale. We coast to the news here. I read maybe time for one text. This one from Joshua said, some distance before Cedar Point Fishing Pier is a giant ditch or small waterway on the right side of the road of 193. In the 80s, my family would stop along the giant ditch to buy a big corn sack full of oysters from fishermen docked along the waterway. Since the early 90s, no oysters. There's still, you know, still oystering at Cedar Point. But I would tell all y'all, this is the graphic got my attention. If you'll go on Facebook and go to Mobile Baykeeper, I think it's the top thing up, or maybe it's a couple down from the top. It's a map that shows our oyster reefs in 68 and then in 2024. Take a look at it and then tell me on the text line if that wasn't eye-opening. All right, coming back, hour number two.